Lord, today. I believe that God has given us His Word so that we can be saved. Well, someone believes that. I believe God has given us His Word so that we can be saved. Amen. On the day of Pentecost, Peter said, "Save yourself from this untoward generation." Jesus said He came to seek and save that which was lost. I believe God has given us His Word so that we can be saved. And if you're not saved today, then you need His Word. And if you are saved today, then you need His Word. Amen? Praise God. Let's praise Him again right now. Jesus, we love You, Lord. We praise You, God. Hallelujah. We ask, oh God, for Your blessing upon each one of us that we can hear Your Word and receive it. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm excited about the presence of God that I feel here. But I get just as excited about the Word of God. Luke 15. Verse 11. Then he said, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me.' So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine, and he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him." Praise God. You may be seated. I'd like to speak this morning on the subject, give and make. Give and make. We have a story of two sons in one household, and it's about their relationship with their father. The relationship with God, basically, is what it represents, is the relationship of any one of us in their place. The Bible says that he divided unto him his living. The young man came to his father and said, I want what belongs to me. Now, in our culture, that may not be clear what that means, but it was not unusual in that day, in that age, for a son, a child of a family, to go to his parent and ask for his inheritance while the parent was still alive. There was an understanding that each member of the family would receive a certain portion. The older brother, of course, in this case, would have received a double portion. The younger man, as far as we can tell, was of age. He was old enough to make this request according to the culture, according to the tradition. And it wouldn't have been unusual for him to stay nearby or even stay there in the household and manage that which was given to him. He said, I want my living. I want my inheritance. I want the thing that defines my livelihood. From this, it's as if he were working in his father's company and his father were to give him a division of the company and make him responsible for it. It's up to him, rise or fall. But in this case, he didn't stay and make his way with the rest of the family. He separated himself from his father. He separated himself from his family. He separated himself and his livelihood, his living, from his father. Now again, it's not a bad thing for us to take control of our life, to take responsibility, even to take that which has been given to us. But maybe it's not always a wise thing for, let's say, an 18-year-old to set out on their own. I'm not saying it's always a bad thing, but anybody here remember when you were 18? Funny, the older we get, the more clear we remember how we were when we were 18. I was so grown up at 18, I couldn't believe it. Now I can't believe how grown up I thought I was. This young man, we don't know all of his motivations, but we know this. He came to his father and he said, "Give me. Give me what belongs to me." Seems to be an indication of his attitude. You know, at the heart of sin, at the heart of our relationship with God, when we fail, when the relationship fails, there's a selfish attitude. That's why when Jesus was in the garden, he prayed, "Not my will, but thine be done." The young man said, "Give me. I want my will. I want to do my thing." He was selfish. He was self-centered. He was proud. Now, the Bible doesn't say all of that about him, but it becomes evident that this was his motivation, that he was being driven by his own purposes, his own desires. This prodigal, the first step, the first thing that he did out of his selfishness was he separated himself from his father. That is one element of sin. How do you know if you're in sin? How do you know if sin is influencing your life? You may be here today and never have set foot in a Pentecostal church in your life. And now this preacher's in front of you talking about sin, and it's a foreign idea. Our culture does not grasp or project the idea of sin very much anymore. Sin is murder. That's about it in our culture today. Which is perfectly fine to put up on a screen. You're just not supposed to do it in person. But sin is a separation from God. God said, "The soul that sinneth shall surely die." In the Garden of Eden, now I know our culture doesn't necessarily believe that it exists, but the Bible says there was such a place. And I believe it because that's what the Word of God says. When Adam and Eve sinned, they were separated from God. Sin is a separation. They hid themselves from His presence. Now, you may have been in a Pentecostal church all of your life, but if when you pray, you feel a distance between you and God, it's time to examine yourself and your life and realize whether or not sin has had influence. Sin is a separation from God. Is there a distance between you and God? Amen. He separated himself. And the Bible lets us know that God is not far from any one of us if only we'll feel after him. So sin creates distance from God because we change the direction we're going. Now, we understand that before we're born again, before we come to God, before we know the truth of the Word of God, we follow our own will. That's what sin does. It causes us to go our own direction. That's why we're separated from God. A sinful state is a departure and a distance from God. Now, what happened next to this young man? Look at verse 13. "Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living." Now, many people, when we talk about the prodigal son, I've said this before, when we think of prodigal, we think of someone who's gone their own way, who's chosen their own way, but that's not really what the word means. I mean, it's a part of it. But to be prodigal means to be profligate, to be wasteful. The prodigal son took what he had and he was prodigal with it. He misused it. He wasted everything. That is the end result of any sin. It's waste. You can spend your whole life building a kingdom, building a giant corporation. You can become the most powerful person in your sphere of influence. You can become president of the United States. You can become whatever you want. But if you have not given your life to God, it's wasted. What shall it profit a man, said Jesus Christ, if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You can pour your whole life into your children and do everything you think you need to do as a proper parent. But if God is not in the middle of your home, if God is not the focus of your life, then what you have done is wasted. You can choose any area of your life, whether it be professional or personal. If God is not a part of it, if God is not in the middle of it, you are wasting your life's energy. Sin is a profligate state. It's a prodigal state. The prodigal son wasted his living. Verse 14. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. That's where sin leaves us. When we separate from God, when we choose to go our own way, when we choose to do our own will, we are found in a state of want. Eventually, we will want for something. We will need more than we can provide for ourselves. We will need more than what this world can give us. All the wealth, all of the riches, all of the position, all of the power, all of the friends, anything this world has to offer, in the end, it will leave you in want. If you are here this morning and you are distant from God, He is here in this place to meet with you. If you are here in this place this morning and you are tired of giving all of your time and all of your energy and finding yourself in a position of want, there's nothing that satisfies you. I'm here to tell you that Jesus can satisfy your soul. It's a wanting state. It's a wasteful state. That's what sin does to you. That's what this world will do to you. And once you have spent yourself, once you have invested yourself, once you have given your time and your energy and your strength to anything that this world has to offer, then it will make a servant of you. Verse 15, he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed the swine. This young man, who had a position in his household, yes, he was just the second son, but he had so much. He had family. He had friends. He had a living. Everything that he had was bound up in that living. That's what that word means, your livelihood. He took everything that he had and he invested it in a prodigal lifestyle. What are you investing your life in today? What is your living being spent upon? He invested it all in his self, in his selfish desires. What I want, I'm going to get, he said. Give me. That's an attitude that's prevalent in our culture today. Give me. The government should give me what I need. My parents should give me what I need. The church should give me what I need. It's a selfish motivation that drives our culture today. It's separate from God. And what it leads to is a servant state, a servant attitude. We think that because our needs are being met that we have free will, but in fact we become subject to our own needs. We become servants to our desires. And we become servants to the one who meet those needs. A sinful state is a state of servanthood. Look at verse 16. He would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. He was completely dependent. But the problem is, this world will not meet your need. It makes you a servant, and then it fails to provide what you need. Oh, praise God. I have been in a state where I have felt separate from God. I have felt distant from God. And in any time when I have been in that condition, I have been forced to realize it was because of choices and decisions that I made. It wasn't because God pushed me away, or because God changed his book, or because God changed his ideas. It was because I made choices that put distance between me and God. I have felt at times like I have wasted my time and my energy. And when I looked to the source of that problem, it was always a choice that I made. We're here today. We have an opportunity to start a new year. We have an opportunity to look ahead. We have that opportunity every day, every Sunday, every morning. When we wake up, we can start all over again. But at this time of year especially, we consider this a time to make a change. Consider the decisions that we have made. Examine yourself. If there's a distance between you and God, if you are wondering why God is not responding to your prayer, if you're wondering why you can't feel what everyone else seemed to feel here this morning, then examine the choices that you've made and recognize that God is present. Jesus Christ is in this place this morning. The Apostle Paul said, as I said before, he's not far from any one of us. He's present. A sinful state is a servant state. And what the world does when it makes us a servant is it controls us and limits our ability and capacity to experience the thing that God has in store for us, that God wants to do for us. And as a result, sin creates an attitude of perpetual dissatisfaction. Amen. The book of Proverbs says that your soul will never be satisfied. There are things you will always be hungry until you find God. All the wealth, all the riches, we've already said, will never satisfy. Just as this young man, even though he made the choices he made, he got what he wanted, basically, and he found himself to be in want, always in want, to the point where he was ready to eat in the field with the swine. That's what sin does to us. That's what separation from God does to us. That's what willful choices, selfish choices, will do in our lives. The give me attitude will separate us from God and leave us wanting, always wondering, always separate from God. And the only way out of that is to come to ourselves. Verse 17. The prodigal, the Bible says, he came to himself. How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I know this is a simple message. I know this is an old message. But it's a message that applies to every one of us. Whether you've been born in the church or whether you never came to church before, today the message is the same. Our own selfish desires, our own selfish purposes will separate us from God and bring us to a place where we will always want more and never be happy with what we have. He came to himself. What does that mean? It means he looked at himself and he realized that he was in a completely degraded state. Sometimes that's the hardest thing for us to do. That's the one obstacle that prevents us from receiving what God has in store for us. Jesus Christ is here today. We heard in tongues an interpretation. He said, I am here to give you what you need. I am here to meet your need. That's a promise from God. He wants to meet your need. That state of wanting, that state of needing, that state of never being satisfied, he's aware of that. The Bible says he knows our needs before we pray. Before you find your way down to this altar, before you lift up your hands and call on the name of Jesus Christ, before you bow your knee and bow your face and weep before the Lord, he knows what you need. But what he needs from you is an act of faith, an act of realization that I am not what I could be. I am not what God wants me to be. I am wanting more. There's something that my soul needs. God wants us to come to ourselves so that we can recognize that we are servant to our flesh, that we are servant to the world, and that we need him. He wants us to come to ourselves. Repentance is a total surrender. A surrender of yourself. He took all of his living and he wasted it. He spent it. And now he has nothing but himself. But when he came to himself, he went back to his Father with an attitude of surrender. So wherever you are today, with little or with much, I know when I came to the Lord, one of the hardest things for me to overcome was, why would God want me? Why would God want to save me? Why would God want to give me the Holy Spirit? After all of the things that I've done, after the way I've lived my life, I have nothing to offer. But that's all God is asking, is for you to offer yourself. Just you. You're living. Everything that you are, whether you have little or much. Now again, that can be a problem for some of us. Well, I'll give you Sunday morning, God. I'll give you my religious belief, but yeah, I don't know if I can give you that part of me that goes to work every day, because I don't want those people to know that I'm a holy roller. I'll give it the musical part of me, because, boy, I love that worship at Calvary Gospel Church. But, yeah, I'm not sure I want to change the way I live. Don't ask me to change the way I dress or change the places I go. He gave up his living, and when he came back to God, he had to bring everything he was and surrender it all. I'm going to go to my Father's household. I'm not going to expect to go back and be in the same position I was. I'll be a servant to God, because I was a servant out here in the world, so I'll serve God. Mark 12:44 uses the same phrase. They were standing by the temple and people were making their offering, and it was traditionally, there were certain leaders in the religious class of the day that would, when they brought their offering, they would actually approach with an entourage and draw attention to themselves. And they would make clear that they were making a generous offering there at the temple. You know, wearing their best clothes, and some of them, I've read, they even had, you know, people playing music to make sure that everyone was aware that they were there. Like, you just see them tripping in there, you know, and putting down their offering. Well, maybe that's an exaggeration. But a widow came, and the Bible says she cast in a mite, which is, let's just say, a penny. And Jesus said, look at that. Verse 44, for all they did cast in of their abundance. They had plenty. Some of us have so much going on in our world, so much going on in our living, in our lives, and we make a little space for God. And now we're Pentecostal because we go to a Pentecostal church. And it's just one part of our life. We cast in, we give something to God out of the abundance that He's given us. But she, of her want, did cast in all that she had, even all her living. She gave very, very little by human standards, but what she gave was much more than any of the others, because she gave all of her living. You see, the Almighty God of heaven and earth, the Creator of the universe, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, the first and the last, the everlasting Father, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. Before time was, He was there. And after time will be no more, He will still be there. The Almighty God, He took Himself and wrapped Himself, His very being, His living, if you will, and He wrapped Himself in human flesh, and He came and He visited the earth. The Bible says that all that God was in Jesus Christ. In Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Everything that God was expressed in Jesus Christ. All His living. And He came and He gave His life. He didn't just... Many people like to talk about how God sent His Son, which is true. But what they don't often realize is that the Son... In that Son, that human being, that man, it was the Son because it was the flesh. It was the human part of the God-man, Jesus Christ. But God was dwelling in that Son. God experienced death in His Son for you and me. He gave everything. His whole life. Now imagine Jesus Christ. He's a man. The Bible says He's had... wants and desires and needs just like you and me. But He subjected every part of His human nature to the God that was living in Him, to the Spirit of God. He was tempted, the Bible says, in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Now think about that. He was tempted in all points like as we are. Everything that we can be tempted with, He was tempted with. Yet without sin. He lived a perfect life. When the devil came to Him, he tempted Him. He said, you can have all the world. You know what? It was true. He could have had all the world. He could have had all the kingdoms of the world. He had that power and that authority. He was the perfect man. He could have lived forever. He gave His life. He gave it all. He surrendered it all. Jesus Christ died on a cross. Not because He had to, because He chose to. Luke 8:43 talks about a woman who pressed through a crowd. Jesus was going from one place to another, and actually He was going to the household of Jairus where He was going to raise someone from the dead. And on the way, this woman pushed through the crowd and touched, the Bible says, the hem of His garment. And when she did, she was healed of the issue of blood that she had suffered for 12 years. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her, everyone say living, all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any. She had spent everything. Say everything. That's what God's looking for today from us, is everything. Everything. How do we know if sin has influenced our lives? When we're distant from God. When we're hungry and nothing satisfies us, we know that sin is working in our lives. How do we know that sin is working in our lives? When we become servants to the things of the flesh and the things of the world. When nothing satisfies. When everything is give me. How do we know when we've given our lives to God? When we've given Him everything. Let's stand. Oh, praise God. I feel God's presence here. She spent everything on physicians and could not be healed of any, but all she had to do was touch the hem of His garment, and Jesus had made her whole. They said, there's a crowd here. What do you mean, who touched you, Jesus? Jesus said, somebody touched me because virtue went out of me. That means power left me. Praise God. I'm not asking you to be as Pentecostal as the most Pentecostal here. I'm not asking you to do everything that someone else does. All I'm asking you is if you want to get close to Jesus, if you want to offer Him your living, if you want to give Him everything, all you need to do is come and touch the hem of His garment. And His virtue, His power, His healing power, His saving power, His changing power will enter your life in that moment when you touch Him, when you give Him everything. How do we know when we've surrendered? The prodigal son said, I will go back to my father, verse 19, and say, I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. He didn't say, give me. Don't come to God this morning and say, give me. Come to God this morning and ask Him to make you what He wants you to be. I'm giving you everything. I'm going to give you my living. I'm going to give you my job. I'm going to give you my marriage. I'm going to give you my home. I'm going to give you my life. I'm going to give you my best car, my best everything. God, I'm giving it to you. Make me what you want me to be. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and make me your son. Make me your child. Wash my sins away and make me clean. Make me pure. Hallelujah. This is your opportunity to come to the presence of God. Don't let this world separate you. Don't let your desires and your will make you a servant to the world. If you need healing this morning, I would invite you to come down to this side of the front, my right and your left, and someone will come and pray for you.